Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We know you'll be blessed as Pastor Jim Cobray ministers the Word of God.
Tonight, hearing from the voice of the Lord. It's funny because a lot of times people don't even know that God's speaking. I've met a lot of Christians in my life. I know you have too, that quite frankly, if they were at Disneyland and Mickey Mouse spoke to them, they wouldn't know who it was, let alone God. And I think for a lot of us that are in this room tonight, we all must admit at least one thing, that we really need to hear from God. We need to know what God has to say about our life, about our future, where we're at, what we're doing, whether to go here, go there, whether not to, and whether anything that you and I are going to do is going to be determined on whether or not you hear from God. If I could just share something with you, a lot of times people always ask me these simple questions. You know, what are you guys doing at the Rock Church? And what makes you so different? Well, I think it's just simply we hear from God. If you think of yourself as a stupid person and you want to be successful, then you're going to have to hear from somebody else besides yourself. And you're going to have to hear from God. I don't read very good, as most of you know. I'm not a very good reader. I don't get on the internet and give you all the internet cliches. I don't read stories. I don't get books and study from books. In fact, really, I've read a few books in my life, but the only book I've really read is the Bible over and over again. I read so slow that I have to concentrate on what I'm reading and think about what I'm reading because I go so slow. To most people, that's a detriment. Most people say, that's horrible. How could you ever be intelligent enough to teach us anything? Because it's not how fast you read. It's not even how great of information you accumulate. It's really about how well you hear. And we miss that all through the Scripture. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that God will make you successful if you read well or if you can gather information. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that you're going to, you know, because you're a person who can see well into the... But always it's about hearing the voice of the Lord and being able to follow what God says. I don't do much. I'm not very smart. I've finished high school. The only reason I finished high school is because I became a professional athlete after high school, so I was a good athletic person. I did go to college. I went to UCLA, but they threw me out because my grades were bad. And so on and so on. But that doesn't mean I'm done with God. If God could take someone like me and have me focus in on learning a trade is, God, I can't really minister to the world. I can't really tell anything about Jesus. I'm really not smart enough, so I guess I'll stop. That's like you saying, you know, I hardly finished school. I'm not very smart. My mother called me names. I'm really a fool, and I my brothers and sisters beat me up, and no one ever thought of me as successful. So therefore, I just should give up in life. When it's so simple, because all God really asks for us is to hear from His Word and to do it. Anybody, anywhere can do it. And the one that hears from God the best, not the one who reads, not the one who can accumulate data and calculate it and come up with a conclusion, but the one who can hear the voice of the Lord and follow what God says, that's the person that'll be successful. So you can throw out all the rules. So the rules being, you must have this education or this kind of an education. Now, if you're going to operate surgery on me, don't give me this, you hear from God. I want to see your degree. But if you're going to teach me the Bible, I want to know that you hear from God and know what the Bible says. And success comes for every man and every woman if they will just learn to simply hear the voice of the Lord. You don't have to always act on it immediately, but you know the voice of the Lord. The Bible says in the 10th chapter of John, my sheep will know my voice, Jesus says. And I think about that. Very few sheep really do know the voice of the Lord. Would know it if it hit them in the head. And we need to become sensitive enough to know the voice of the Lord, especially those of us that are ministers, because that's the real key to success for every one of us. Sometimes people ask the question to me, they'll say, is God even speaking at all? In fact, you'll look at your Bibles, and oftentimes people will teach that between books, hundreds of years went by before God spoke again and before God spoke. I think it was Malachi, between Malachi and Matthew, there was like 400 years or 700 years, something like that, where people will teach you that God didn't speak. Can I tell you something? That is crazy theology. God was speaking, there just wasn't anybody to listen. And that's the difference. God doesn't stay silent with one group of people unless there's somebody that's wanting to hear and somebody who will hear and distinguish the voice of the Lord. In fact, the proverb says it like this in the 18th chapter, verse number, let's take a look. Proverbs 8th chapter, not 18th, but the 8th chapter. And let's take a look at verse number 34. Proverbs 8th chapter, verse number 34. It says this, blessed is a man who listens to me. Now, wouldn't it be sad if God says, blessed the man who listens to me, and God says, I'm not talking for 400 years. So therefore, no one can be blessed. So God's talking, just people aren't hearing. Could it be that God is talking to you about what to do and how to live in order to be what? Successful. And you're not hearing. Could be. Could be me. That God's talking to about things. But over the years, because of my lack of ability to read, I didn't say I was stupid. I just said I have a lack of ability to read, put things together and understand thoughts like some people do. My lack of ability to read has caused me to become in tune with His voice in order for existence to take place. So he says this, blessed is the man that listens to me, watches daily at my gate, waiting at the post of my doors. In other words, here he comes along, you got to listen, you got to watch, and you got to wait. So cool. And for every one of us, tomorrow hinges on, let me say it again, tomorrow hinges, one more time, tomorrow hinges on whether or not you hear from God today. Or you're a victim of whatever happens tomorrow, unless you heard from God today. And we're talking about this. Listen, we're talking about how to hear from God. We hear from everything. We hear from other people. We hear from friends. We hear from relatives. We hear from politicians and economists. We hear from everybody. But you know what we don't hear from? As a church, we don't hear from God like we ought to. And what would your life be like in the future if you heard from God? If God can take a stupid guy like me to pastor one of the great churches in America, how much more could He do with you? Was it my intelligence? Was it my education? Was it my ability? Or was it all about hearing His voice and following Him in spite of my lack of intelligence and ability and all of that? See, that's what this is all about. Always has been what it's all about. But we haven't taught that. And what we do in American churches is we hire the smartest people, give them the biggest degrees, and we say, here, you now are the head of the church. And the church doesn't have to hear from God. All they have to do is go to that smart person. That smart person now will tell them what God's saying. And then we find ourselves wondering, what in the world happened to our life at the end of our life? We missed God completely. God wants to speak to you. God's looking for a people who will watch and wait at His doors. We're going to listen to Him because He is speaking. Well, if God's speaking, then what should it be like when we hear from Him? What kind of people hear from God? First of all, I want to just say this. You're going to have a hearing, number one, a hearing heart. A hearing heart means that you have the heart that is right with God. Not a hard heart, not a heart that rejects, not a heart that wants to do things your own way, not a heart that you'll hear from God if what it is you hear fits into your personality, or what it is you hear fits into your thinking, or what it is you hear from God fits into your plans, but a heart that says, God, here I am, and I need to hear what You have to say. And I am right with God. And some of you are not right with God tonight. No wonder you don't hear. But you need to hear from God. And it starts by having a heart that's right with God. Stop and think about it for a moment. Deborah and I were talking today. A heart to hear the general will of God before you ever hear the specific will of God. If you cannot hear the general will of God and have a heart to hear the general will, then don't come to God and expect to hear from the specific will of God. If I'm saying to God, God, I only want to hear what I think I need to hear. In other words, a church that can't even do the absolutes of the Word of God wants to do something way out there. Let me tell you something. You're not going to get the way out there stuff until you learn the absolutes. You're not going to hear about the general and do the general things of God and then ask God for the specific. God, I need to know what to do in business. I need to make my business work. I need to have this. I need to have that and have this. But yet you won't even do the general, the beginning, the basics. A good heart is a heart that says, God, I am willing. I'm open. I desperately need you. A heart that's right with God. The ones that you'll find in Scripture that God couldn't speak to are the ones who had a heart that didn't want to hear what God had to say unless what they heard fit into their lifestyle. In Jeremiah, the Word of God says in the 6th chapter, it's kind of fascinating. Verse number 10, you might want to just turn back to the book of Jeremiah and let's take a look at it together. In the 6th chapter, verse number 10, it says this. To whom shall I speak and give warning? Wouldn't you love it if God warned you every time you were going to make a wrong decision? Wouldn't you love it if, remember the problem that you had a couple of years ago? I don't know who I'm speaking to, but I'm speaking to you. Wouldn't it have been great if God warned you and you heard his voice clear enough not to do it? Deborah and I were in a construction project. We were just about to build 28 homes in Yucaipa, all been approved by the city, went through years, literally spent hundreds of thousands of dollars, not your money, my money, so don't go freaking out on me here. My money, and got this subdivision ready. It's still there, still ready to go, still approved by the city. And I went to Deborah and I said, Deborah, something's wrong. I feel like this is not going to work. And of course, the question was, like, you got to be kidding. Wait a minute. We've just spent a fortune in this. Yeah, but if we spend a fortune and it doesn't work, it'll save us a lot of money from the time. Well, if we had built that, within 6 months, the whole real estate market collapsed. Something spoke to me. My heart was right to hear it and not let me go. God wants to warn. He says, who shall I speak and give warning? That they may hear. Indeed, their ears are uncircumcised. The word uncircumcised means they're so cluttered with stuff. They just can't hear anything. They're just out of sync with God. Their ears are not thinking about God. They're not hearing from God. They're only hearing from the world. Listen to this. And they cannot give heed. Behold, the word of the Lord is a reproach to them and they have no delight in it. Why? Because their heart is not right with God. You want God to come through, you're going to have to do something and you're going to have to get your heart right with God. Why? So you can hear God. Why? So you don't make mistakes. Why? So God can tell you where to go, because when you're in the right place, when God speaks, man, you get blessed. Well, if you're in the wrong place and expect God to bless you in the wrong place, it doesn't happen. You've got to be in the right place. And you got to hear from his voice in order for that to work. Is anybody listening? One more quick verse while you're there in Jeremiah. Go back with me to Ezekiel. In Ezekiel, the 12th chapter, just pop it up. Listen to this. Verse number 2. Son of man, you dwell in the midst of a rebellious house. A rebellious house is something that doesn't want a bad heart, doesn't want to do God's thing, wants to do their own thing. You dwell in, which has eyes to see, but doesn't see, and has ears to hear, but does not hear. For they are a rebellious house. In other words, the people you hang around with have polluted your ability to hear from the voice of God because you live in a world of rebellion towards his ways. Wow, that's a powerful verse. In other words, number one, in order to hear from God, listen to me, you got to have a heart that you fight for to stay pure, full of integrity in the ways of the Lord. Without it, it just doesn't work. We're talking about hearing from the voice of the Lord. This is kind of funny. If he's speaking, then what should we hear him like? What should we be like to, in order to hear him? Here's number two. You've got to hear him quietly. What in the world am I talking about? Hearing him quietly. Stop striving with God. Settle down. Start applying some peace in your life and walk in some faith. Sometimes we just got to hear from God about a problem that we're facing. God, I need you to settle the issue. God, I need you to speak. And we don't ever hear from God. Oftentimes we're too troubled. We have lost the art of solitude in American churches. That's where you get alone with God. And you shut down the drums, you shut down the singing, you shut down the preaching, and you sit alone with God in faith, and you just stop striving with God. Interesting thing, if you ever lost like your keys or your glasses or a credit card or wallet or something, you ever done anybody? Wave at me if you've ever lost anything. And you prayed and you said, God, I've looked everywhere. Can you show me where it's at? And did he show you? You went on and you said, nah, it didn't happen. So you just say, God, you're going to have to show me. Or don't worry. So you went on doing something else. And all of a sudden, something, bang, pops into your heart. I forgot to check that drawer. I was there or in the pocket of that coat. Has anybody ever done that? And you go, wow, God, you just showed me. He didn't show you where your credit cards are, your wallet or your glasses or your keys. He just showed you that in being still with him. He just showed you that stop striving with him and become a quiet listener. A quiet listener. In Isaiah, remember the verses, I'm not even going to go there because you know it, all the verses that happened that says it wasn't in the thunder, it wasn't in the lightning, it wasn't in the earthquake. But it was in that still, small voice. It's kind of an interesting thing. We're always talking. We've always got suggestions. We've always got something to say. I like what it says in Ecclesiastes. One of my favorite verses is I ought to take a bunch of pieces of paper. Now, this is this. And I ought to put them in my pocket. So when I greet at the back door on Sunday, and someone comes up and tells me what I should be doing. I've not been doing this for forever, you know. I should just take this little piece of paper out with this verse on it. Here's the verse. Ecclesiastes 5:1 says it like this. Pop it up. Walk prudently when you go into the house of God. Draw near to hear rather than to give sacrifice of fools. For they do not know what they do, that they do evil. In other words, shut up. And listen. Isn't that a great verse? So you come up to me at the back door, you know, you're supposed to pat me on the back, tell me how good I preach. But when you don't, you know, I'll just take out that little piece of paper, hand it to you, say, read this in the car when you get home. And then we'll see you at the other church. Because here it is, right here, you know. Shut up, draw near, stop offering your opinions. Get into a silent place. Draw near to hear. And that means you're going to have to shut it all down. If he's speaking, here's number three. Listen for the unusual. This is what really gets me, is everybody's expecting God to line up with their thinking. Can I tell you, over these years, I found out that God says things that are really different than what we think. And usually doesn't go along with the status quo of humans, but has his own ways of doing things. And the very thing that you think is least important, or you would never have thought of in your life. Have you ever been there? And all of a sudden it pops in. Let me tell you something. Look for the unusual. Because I tell you, oftentimes, that's the voice of the Lord speaking to you. It's not like, God, I just need this, and really I want you to confirm whether this is okay for me to do. Then God tells you to do something really weird and unusual, And it's like, what am I doing? But that was the voice. God doesn't always talk in the usual, with expectation. He always talks and gives us information to operate. Most pastors miss that. Most pastors, in their thinking, says, it couldn't be God that says this right now. Have you ever been in church when we've had 5 altar calls? That's an unusual thing. I've been in many churches that take up 5 offerings. About the 3rd one, you're saying, I got to find another church. But to be in a church that has 5 altar calls where people get saved, and the bigger ones are the ones at the end, something had to be unusually spoken. Because in your senses, it says, you got to be crazy to do this. You just got to be crazy. It's just not going to happen. Guys, listen to what I'm saying to you. Very important for us to see. There's this guy. I love him. He's one of my favorite human beings on the planet. I love him because he's full of guts. In fact, may I say this to you? Every person that was ever used by God in the Bible was a pistol. Don't tell me they weren't. I heard someone teaching on the radio the other day and say, John was John the Beloved, and John was so sweet. Jesus loved John because he was so sweet. Why don't you read your Bible? He was called the Sons of Thunder, man. Call down fire from heaven to burn them suckers up. You know what I'm saying? Give me a break. The guy was so tough, they tried to boil him in oil, according to tradition. It wouldn't even boil. You know, Peter, James, John, Isaiah the prophet, Elijah. My goodness sakes alive, these people. David pulls out his sword and cuts off 200 Philistines' foreskins. You got to be kidding. Ain't no sissy doing that. People that make names for themselves are people that are tough. And there's this guy named Paul the Apostle that absolutely, Saul of Tarsus, remember him? He is absolutely tormenting the church, torturing the church, killing people, throwing them in prison. He's got a recommendation to go. He's on his way to Damascus to throw more people in prison. And there he has a road, listen to me, a road to Damascus experience that changed the world. There is one verse in the Bible that tells you and I, listen to what I'm going to say, tells you and I, one verse in the Bible, how Paul the Apostle could be so successful. One verse in the Bible that tells us, here is the key to Paul the Apostle's success, found on the road to Damascus. I mean, we're talking about success. We're talking about writing 2/3 of the New Testament. We're talking about billions of people daily reading his writings every single day. Billions of people thousands of years later. Let me tell you something, the great authors of today, they don't do that. But here's this tremendous man of God that speaks thousands of years later, and thousands and billions of people read his writings to this day. Are you talking about greatness or greatness? And there's one verse that gives us insight. And the key to his success, you want to know what it is? You want to know what it is? I'm not telling you. There's one verse. Do you want to know what it is? All right, then wake up here. Come on, go with me to Acts. In the 9th chapter, here it is, one verse. Acts, the 9th chapter, here it is. This is everything. Verse number 6. You've met up with God. He's on the ground, he's astonished, and he's trembling. Verse 6 says this, and he trembled and he's astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Completely unusual, completely different than his own thinking, completely different than his own way. But here's the key, Lord, what would you have me to do? And that's the key to every Christian success. Lord, what would you have me to do? But you got to be sharp enough to hear the unusual. He was going in to torture people, throw them in prison, and maybe even kill many of them. And yet now he's going to go in, arise, and go into the city. And I'll tell you what you must do.
Here's a guy that made things happen for himself, and now he's got to wait on the Lord. That's different and unusual. See, for every one of us that are in here, when God speaks, it's not always usual. It's usually much different than what you think. And because it's so different, we turn it off. And we never become sensitive to the voice of the Lord because it doesn't fit our thinking. But it fits, here it is, it fits His heartbeat. Let me say it again. It doesn't fit our thinking, but it fits His heartbeat. And until you and I get His heartbeat, we'll never catch His thinking. And sometimes the unusual is spoken, and man, we have no idea. It's the strangest thing in the world. Debbie and I are embarking right now in some of the most unusual decisions of our entire existence. And we're going, we're not even saying this better be God. We know it is God. Let me tell you, last verse, James 1:19 says it like this. Just pop it up on the overhead. So then, my beloved, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Tonight, you and I need to hear from the Lord. In order to hear from the Lord, excuse me, I had a soda and I'm hiccuping. In order to hear from the Lord, we're going to have the right kind of heart. That's what God's looking for. A hearing heart. One that wants to hear from the voice of the Lord. Number two, we're going to have to be hearing quietly. In other words, stop striving, settle down, get in a place of solitude. And number three, listen for the unusual. God doesn't speak like everybody else. He's God. He's different. Sit back, get some time alone, hear what He has to say. And don't give me this, God isn't speaking. He's speaking every day to you. You're just not hearing Him. Now today, if God spoke to you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, give Him a great big praise. Will you do that? Hallelujah.
We want to thank you for listening to Pastor Jim Cobray. If you've enjoyed this message and would like to know more about The Rock Church and other resources, please log on to www.rockchurch.com.